This call is being recorded by the meeting organizer. By staying on the call, you are giving your consent to being recorded.
Good afternoon, everyone. We are going to go ahead and get started here. In case you are not sure if you're in the right place, this is the district webinar to go through the 2016 and 17 data collection and reporting changes under adult education, primarily for implementation of WEOA. If you are a college, the webinars are actually scheduled for tomorrow, so you're welcome to stay on the line. That would be Florida colleges, not district technical colleges. But Florida colleges, we will be doing a separate webinar for you tomorrow, either from 9 to 11 or 2 to 4. So if you would like to stay on the line, you're welcome to, but most of the information is going to be presented from the district perspective. We did send out a copy of the PowerPoint and some supplementary materials. If you did not get those, we do apologize. We will be making those available once we finalize them. It will probably take us a couple of days to get those finalized, but we will be posting the final PowerPoint from this training on our website, and we'll let everybody know who participated into this call. I'm going to go ahead and get started. In case you are not aware of WEOA and what it is, the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act was passed back in 2014. Section 116 of the law does establish performance accountability measures required for all CORE partners. In the state of Florida, CORE partners are the Department of Economic Opportunity, the Division of Blind Services at the Florida Department of Education, the Division of Voc Rehab through the Florida Department of Education, and of course, adult education. In addition, there's a lot of work being done with CareerSource Florida as well, but in terms of performance accountability, these are the core partners. The law includes reporting requirements. We know of two different reporting requirements. The first is a new reporting requirement. It's called the Annual Performance Report. This will be a report that is required to be completed by each CORE partner, as identified in the slide above. It includes performance accountability targets for specific core indicators. In addition, we'll continue to collect and report information and performance in what is known as MRS, as many of you are familiar with, as the National Reporting System. We are not aware of any current data collection changes for MRS, but there may be some additional changes when final guidance is released. We will continue to include performance accountability targets based on measurable skills gained, which, as most of you, if you're familiar with MRS now, that would be Table 4 primarily. A new report, though, that we will be required to collect and report on is the annual performance report. This is something that is completed by each core partner separately and submitted to their appropriate federal agency. For us, that would be the Office of Career and Technical Education at the U.S. Department of Education, also known as OCTE. This report includes 6 performance indicators, which I have listed below here: employment rate entered, employment rate retention, median earnings, credential rate, measurable skills gain, and employee effectiveness. The Florida Department of Education for Adult Education will need to adopt proposed state targets for the performance indicators as part of our state plan. For 16-17 adult education, the only performance indicator with a state-adopted target will be measurable skills gain. So of those 6, measurable skills gain will be the one that we need a proposed target for the 16-17 year. We will be required, however, to submit performance data for the remaining performance indicators to establish baseline performance, but will not be held accountable for 16-17 performance in relation to a target for those other performance indicators. I should note employee effectiveness, which is one of the 6 performance indicators, has not yet been defined, and so we are not currently implementing any data changes specific to that performance indicator. On a quarterly basis, we will be required to submit progress towards meeting our targets to the CareerSource Board. In addition, CareerSource is in the process of developing a dashboard that all core partners will use to show progress towards meeting their targets. That is still in development. Once we have more information about what that will look like, we will be sharing it with all of our districts and colleges who participate in adult education. In terms of WIOA implementation, all the requirements that we're going to be discussing today, the new data elements and characteristics, this is something that agencies must begin reporting information for participants who enroll on July 1st, 2016 or later. There were a lot of questions this morning related to that, so we added an additional example table. If you have an NRS eligible course, say ABE Reading, that starts June 1st, of this summer 2016 and runs through August 15th. Any student, if a student enrolls on June 1st, that would be before July 1st, you are not required to collect the new data elements on that student. However, in that same course, which starts June 1st and goes through August 15th, if you have a student who enrolls on July 1st or after in that same course, you would be required to collect these new data elements on those students. The third example is just a course that begins after the July 1st implementation date. At that point, all of the characteristics would need to be collected for these students. We have created an updated sample intake form. A draft of it was included in the webinar materials, and once it is finalized, it will be saved to the following location. This is the Adult Education Resources page. In addition, we have created a supplementary guidance document to accompany the sample intake form, which includes additional notation and definitions. Again, once that is finalized, we will also post it to the same place. Here's the next slide. Just some information on that sample form, if you haven't had a chance to look at it. It has been updated to include all of the new participant characteristics identified as subpopulations in WIOA. Those are the majority of the data elements going through today. All of these items, for the most part, have been included in the background section, which is on the second page towards the top, and are are self-reported. You are not required to document when a student self-selects one of these items. Agencies must provide an opportunity for participants to indicate which characteristics apply. If you are not using a sample intake form and you are using a different process, you must also include these in that process. It should be noted that when a student does not indicate a characteristic applies, that would be the same as not applicable or does not apply to that student. So they only have to select the ones that do apply to them. It is important to distinguish that for a majority of the data elements that we collect as we go through them, they are only required to be collected in some cases for NRS-eligible programs. So if a student enrolls in an NRS-eligible program, provided on this slide are a list of all the adult ed programs in 15-16. I did not include the 16-17 names, but I don't believe that there's any programs coming off of this list. But this is the list of all adult education programs. The ones highlighted in yellow are the ones that are considered NRS eligible. So if you have a student who only enrolls in citizenship and has not enrolled in any others, pay attention because some of these characteristics do not have to be collected for those students. But if you have a student who enrolls in citizenship and ESOL, that would be an NRS eligible, and all the data that is required for NRS eligible programs must be collected for that student. Just a reminder, as we start to go over this information, if you have questions, please use the questions dialog box in the webinar to type in that specific question. We will not be opening up the conference call line for verbal questions. We will only be taking questions through that question box, so please make sure you utilize that to type in any questions. In addition, if there are additional questions you think about after the webinar or do not want to ask as part of the webinar, you are always certainly welcome to email myself or any member of my staff. I've included our contact information towards the back of the slides. So I wanted to spend a little bit of time on the performance indicators that I spoke about earlier. There were 6 core performance indicators. I'm not going to go through employee effectiveness since that has not yet been defined, but I did want to go over the other ones. The first one is employment rate entered. This is the number of exiters during the reporting period who are employed during the second quarter after exit divided by the number of exiters during the reporting period. I do want to note that we will begin to collect information and report on this in 16-17 to establish baseline performance and set targets. However, we will not be required to adopt a state target until the 18-19 reporting year. A second measure looking at employee rate is a retention measure. This is the number of exiters during the reporting period who are employed during the fourth quarter after exit divided by the number of exiters during the reporting period. Similar to the earlier employment rate, this one is also one we will begin reporting in 16-17. However, we will not be required to adopt a state target for accountability purposes until 18-19. The next one, median earnings, and I should point out that the two earlier measures as well as the median earnings one, the majority of the employment data will be done through matching with our FETPIP office. This is not something you will be required to collect and report to us in terms of who is employed after exit and median earnings. So I should just make note of that. But median earnings, not mean earnings, there's a big distinction, is defined as all exiters in a core program, and we take the midpoint of all the wages between the highest and lowest wage earned in the second quarter after exit. Similar to the two employment rates, this is something we will begin reporting on in 16-17. We'll not adopt a state target and be held accountable until 18-19 reporting year. Credential rate. This is the total number of participants who exited and were in a secondary education program, which is defined at or above the ninth grade level, who attained a high school diploma or equivalent. Again, we will be required to collect and report this, but will not be required to adopt a state target until the 18-19 reporting year. The last performance indicator is one that we will be required to adopt a target for the 16-17 reporting year. This is measurable skills gains. This is the number of program participants who during the program year are achieving measurable skills gain based on attainment of one of the following types of gains: literacy completion points in ABE, ESOL El Cate, and adult high school, looking at adult secondary education low. So those are your 9 through 10.9 students. All right, I wanted to spend some time first going through changes to existing data elements. These are ones that are already being collected through WDIS, the Workforce Development Information System. We did include the three data elements we're going to go over: displaced homemaker employment status, single parent, single pregnant woman. We did include change documents in the packet that was sent out to those of you who registered for this webinar, as long as you registered yesterday afternoon. Those change documents should include green for new language and strike through for old language. So if you want to see the specific data changes, I would suggest that you view those data element change documents. Looking at displaced homemaker, which is the first of the data elements with a change on it, this is a data element that defines whether or not a participant was a displaced homemaker at the time of entry in the current term or semester. This is currently collected for CTE and reported. Those of you who are familiar with Perkins may already be familiar with this data element. Beginning with 16-17, we'll be expanding our collection to include both adult education and CTE for this data element. The next two slides provide the data elements that are now reportable. If you are familiar with the previous reporting requirements, displaced homemakers were reported with a code value of H. Go ahead to the next slide. That H was broken out into codes A, B, and C. And value B is a new value that was added into this particular data element. Just some notes on displaced homemaker. It is required for CTE and AGE. I should note that for CTE purposes, Perkins in other words, those with values A, B, and C would be defined as a displaced homemaker. For adult education, those with values B and D would be included in displaced homemaker calculations. It should be noted that this data should be collected at the beginning of each term and semester because this is something that can change throughout the year. If participant is enrolled in two or more terms in a reporting period, status reported should be for the first term semester. And this is reported on the WDIS student demographic information format. The next data element I wanted to go over was the adult general education employment status. This was previously referred to as the employment status at entry, at program entry. We just shortened the title. And this is the employment status of the participant at the time of entry in the current term or semester. This is self-reported. It's not required to be documented. Many of you are familiar with this from our implementation last year in collecting, I think 14-15 was the first year we began collecting this information. And the next two slides provide information on the reportable data values. Reporting value E and U already existed on the current format. However, E has substantial changes to the definition or terminology. Value S is a new value that was added this year. Go to the next one. Just in terms of changes, there were no substantial changes to value M or Z. They continue to be reported and defined in a very similar nature. Some notes on this particular one. This is only required to be collected for ADE program. And similar to all the other ones, status is collected at the beginning of each term or semester. And if you are enrolled in more than one term or semester in a reporting period, you should report the first status. It's also reported on the WDIS student demographic information format. The last data element with substantial changes that was already being reported, very similar to displaced homemaker, was single parent and single pregnant woman. This is a participant who was either a single parent and or a single pregnant woman at the time of entry in the current term or semester. Similar to Displays Homemaker, this was already currently collected and reported for CTE, beginning with 16-17, that we are expanding that collection to include adult general education in addition to CTE. There were no changes to the existing values. The change was simply to the programs required to collect and report this for districts. As I stated a few slides ago, this is required now for adult general education and CTE. Data should be collected at the beginning of each term semester. If participant is enrolled in two or more terms in a reporting period, status reported should be for the first term or semester. And like the other two data elements, this is reported on the WITIS student demographic information format. Okay, now I wanted to spend some time going over new data elements. These were identified in the specification documents released as part of the annual performance report primarily. Many of these are individual student characteristics that are collected on intake. This is the complete list of the new data elements we're going to go through. I'm going to start with adult general education ex-offender. I do want to state that while these may be collected on intake, districts are also welcome to develop local policies to identify students whose characteristics may fit with these if they have local programs or policies that can assist in identifying them. So if they work with a specific population because of a program they have a partnership with whose students would meet the definitions, they can also use that to identify for reporting purposes these student characteristics. So adult adult general education, ex-offender. This is a student who, at the time of entry in the current term or semester, the participant is self-identified as a person who either has been subject to any stage of the criminal justice process for committing a status offense or delinquent act, or requires assistance in overcoming artificial barriers to employment resulting from a record of arrest or conviction for committing delinquent acts such as crimes against persons, crimes against property, status offenses, or other crimes. As you can see, any student that has been identified as an ex-offender is all reported with one value of E and would be used to report students who are in NRS-eligible programs who did not self-identify as an ex-offender, and Z would be used to report students who are not in NRS-eligible programs. Okay. This is only required for NRS-eligible programs, similar to other characteristics. This does need to be collected at the beginning of each term or semester, and if you collect for more than two terms, if you collect for multiple terms that are reported in one window, you should report the status for the first term. This is also included on the WITIS student demographic information format. The adult general education literacy completion point code date earned. This is a new data element that is intended to capture the most recent date in the reporting period the participant achieved at least one literacy completion point, otherwise known as an LCP, tied to the course in which the LCP was earned. Go ahead. This is just a format for which that date needs to be reported to us. I do want to jump to the next slide. To give you an example, because we've been asked several questions, so we wanted to make sure we provided some clarification on this. If I have student A and this is their 2016-17 LCPs earned for a student enrolled in ADE reading, so in the summer term, what you report in Survey F, that student earned two LCPs, an E and an F. And so that student was being reported with the date earned would be into WITIS would be reported as the most recent date, so it would be for LCPF. Now in your fall or W data, the student did not earn any LCPs, so you would leave that field blank. Winter and spring, so this agency offers two different terms, a winter and a spring. All of them are reported in Survey F, so even though they earned LCPG with winter term and LCP H with spring term, because they're reported in the same reporting period, you would indicate the date of the most recent LCP, which would be the H value. Just some notes on this data element. It is only required for NRS eligible programs and the LCPs that are reported for those. If a participant is reported with more than one LCP in the same course, date reported should reflect the most recent date, and you should only be reporting a date if an LCP was reported in the same course. It is distinctive to note that unlike the other data elements we've gone over, this is reported on the student course record, and so we would expect to see an LCP also being reported in that same student course record. Another data element that we will be collecting is adult general education diploma date. This is the date the diploma or high school equivalency was attained by the participant in the current term or semester. It has a similar format for reporting the date. Some notes regarding diploma date. If your agency has entered a diploma type based upon the GED test into your MIS system, you would need to have sufficient documentation to do so. Your agency has access to the diploma date from a variety of sources. For example, with access to GED Manager for Adult Educators, the GEDTS access to student records for students who authorize the release to the agency, the system will provide a date. Or with a signed release from the student, many agencies have access to the Florida Records site, which provides the date. In addition, if the student provides a State of Florida High School diploma or official GED transcript as proof of diploma status, both of these documents provide a date as well. So those are some options for students who have attained a GED in order to determine a diploma date. I should also note that when we run these calculations and for the reporting purposes, we will be also matching students into the GED database as well from our end, to determine if there are any additional students that were not reported through this data element. Just a note, programs required are for NRS eligible adult education programs. This is reported on the WITIS end of term status, which is also the same format where you would report a diploma code as well. The next data element is a student characteristic. It should be captured on intake. Adult general education employment barriers. This is a participant who perceives him or herself as possessing attitudes, beliefs, customs, or practices that influence a way of thinking, acting, or working that may serve as a hindrance to employment. If a student self-selects that this is that they do perceive to have employment barriers, you would report that student with a value of C. If the student is in an NRS eligible program and does not self-select, you would report a value of N. And for students who are not enrolled in NRS program, eligible programs, they would be reported with a value of Z. Some notation on this particular data element, it is only required for NRS eligible adult education programs. And similar to other statuses, it should be collected at the beginning of each term or semester. If they're enrolled in two or more terms in a reporting period, status reported should be for the first term semester. And it is reported on the WITIS student demographic information. The next data element I want to go over is a new data element, but it is a replacement of an existing data element. Because there were substantial enough changes to both the reportable values as well as the reporting links, it was determined that we needed to retire the existing data element, which is level of schooling adult, and replace it with this new data element, highest school grade completed. This is defined as the highest school grade completed by the participant at the time of entry, post-secondary or adult general education in the current year. It is important to note the distinction that this only needs to be taken on entry for the program year. It does not need to be taken each term or semester. We provided some examples in this slide. We also included the data element description in the packet if you wanted to see the full range of values reportable. We just didn't feel it was necessary to add 4 additional slides to show all the reportable values for the various grade levels and diplomas. But this is just a sample of some of the codes that are available. Go ahead to the next one. Some notes on this particular data element. It is collected for both AGE and CTE students. If you have a student who was educated outside the United States where they used a different nomenclature to our grade level system, just use the approximate equivalent to the best of your ability. This is reported on the WITIS student demographic information format. So the next data element I wanted to go over is also one that is collected on intake. It is also included in the sample intake form, adult general education, homeless individual, or runaway youth. This is an individual who at the time of entry in the current term semester lacks a fixed, regular, and adequate nighttime residence. I will note that in addition to students who are identified with this data element, we will be also matching against fee status. To determine if there are any additional students who would be defined as homeless individuals using the fee status as well. I want to go ahead and go to the second page of the reporting values. I don't think I need to go through each individual one, but I do want to note value D is the participant is under 18 years of age and absents himself or herself from home or place of legal residence without the permission of his or her family. This is the runaway youth value. We did want to provide some guidance on collection for this. We do not recommend that this be collected on intake because it is a very sensitive population. What we would suggest is that local agencies use their own discretion and a locally defined procedure to identify potential students who would be reported with this particular value. This is only required to be collected for students enrolled in NRS-eligible programs. It should be collected at the beginning of each term or semester, and it is on the student demographic information format. The adult general education migrant and seasonal farm worker is a new data element to define or identify participants who are migrant or seasonal farm workers at the time of entry in the current term or semester. It should be noted there are 2 different reportable values for the for this population, and so the sample intake form does include 2 different categories for these students. For students who do not self-select, they would be reported with a value of N, and a D would be used to report students who are not in NRS-eligible programs. In addition to students that are reported with these data elements, we will also be matching with the migrant education programs, which are being managed by the Department of Economic Opportunity, to see if we can identify any additional students that we are serving who are considered migrant or seasonal farm workers. These are only required to be collected for NRS-eligible students in adult education programs, and status should be collected at the beginning of each term or semester, and it is also reported on the student demographic information format. The next data element, adult general education withdrawal reason. This is a reason for a participant's withdrawal from adult general education. This is not reason for withdrawal from a specific course, but should be viewed as withdrawal from adult education entirely. Go ahead and go to the next slide. There are several reportable values. I did want to point out if a student has exited and you are not aware of the specific reason for that exit, that is reported with a value of G. Go ahead to the next slide, expect my notes. So as I just indicated, withdrawal should only be reported if the participant has exited AGE in your agency. It's not used if they've exited a particular course or program, as long as they continue to receive instruction in another subsequent AGE program or course, NRS eligible. Participants should be reported with a value of N in that case, which means they're still enrolled. Information reported with this data element will be used to determine eligibility for inclusion in NRF calculations, which is why we are collecting this information. And then, as I stated a minute ago, if an agency knows that a participant has exited, but they do not have a specific reason, or the specific reason isn't one of the ones identified above, they would use value G. This is required for students enrolled in NRS-eligible programs. It should be noted there is a separate data element called withdrawal code adult, known as 188025. That particular data element is in the data dictionary, but is not actively collected in our current WITIS reporting format. It is something that is probably locally being maintained. This is not the same definition or data element. There may be similarities between the two, but since we do not collect withdrawal code adult, and we do not need to collect all of the values under withdrawal code adult, we have a separate data element that we are implementing. This will be required on the WITIS end of term status. All right. Before we get into any of the other pieces, I wanted to go ahead and address some of the questions that people have typed in. Just a reminder, if you have not already had a chance and do have a question, you're welcome to type those directly into the questions box down below. Just give us 1 second to pull them all up. All right. So bear with me as I read the questions and then is it all the way up?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Yes. First one.
Okay. I don't know that I can answer that first one. I'm hopeful. The first question is, if students do not have a Social Security number, how will their employment data be measured? If we do not have a Social Security number, we are unable to match those students into employment data. It really depends on the specific calculation requirements for the measures. In some of these measurements, missing Social Security number would exclude them from the data, and other ones it would not. I don't really have the specific information on that right now. A student not you are not allowed to require a Social Security number. You should try to collect it because it is important to us, but you are not required to give it. A student who does not have a Social Security number is still able to be enrolled in adult general education programs. If you have a student who earns more than one literacy completion point, will they be counted? I don't have an answer for that question right now. That question really has more to do with the business rules for the performance calculations. But I suspect under current accountability provisions, it is not the number of completions that a student has relative to whether they are a completer. All right. We had a question about displaced homemaker. And probably this question applies to many of those, is will the element need to be explained to the student more carefully? Most don't know what this means. We are allowing you local discretion in how much explanation or detail you do want to provide to the students. As we said, we are developing supplementary guidance to provide to you with additional notes and clarifications on the definitions. In some cases, the language we have provided is taken straight from the federal accountability language and how they define it. If enrolled for more than one term and status changes, for example, employment status or displaced homemaker, do they need to report changes? Yes, with each term or semester that you enroll, you need to collect updated information for students. And in that reporting window, which you report that data, you need to report an updated status if that's the case. I had a question. question about the ex-offender, adult general education ex-offender, and whether or not students are self-identifying themselves for that. Or does the agency need to do that identification for them? I believe the answer to that is you need to give the opportunity. It's something that we're still working on guidance for, particularly for this particular component, because I know that a lot of you work with different types of programs that work with correction students or former correction students or other types of programs. The answer for regular adult ed students is you just need to simply ask them to self-select. We will work on providing guidance on how districts can identify these students with local programs that they're servicing or providing. If a student earned two LCPs but earned one in September and one in October, we would report both but use the October date. That is correct. I'm assuming you're reporting all of these in the same survey window, in which case the LCP reporting date would be October. We had a question about whether or not the template for the intake form with all the new reporting data elements can be provided. Yes, we are working on finalizing that. We wanted to wait until after the webinars, and we had an opportunity to listen to the various questions and feedback from the field. I'm hopeful that by early next week we will have both a copy of this final presentation as well as the sample intake form posted on the website. As soon as we do have it posted, we will let everyone know. All right, I think we've addressed all the questions up to this point in time. I did want to provide everybody with some opportunities of professional development that we will have coming up very shortly. I have to be back on this, thank you. If you have not already heard, this is your chance to hear about it. We are going to be hosting some regional data reporting workshops in April and May. These are going to be very similar in nature to last year's adult education workshops, the all-day workshops that we held. We will be doing two-day workshops, with day one being entirely adult education data reporting, followed by CTE data reporting on day two. Workshops are intended to cover best practices of data collection, reporting, and local level review, as well as going through some of the reporting requirements under WIOA. There is registration information on this website that can be found here, as well as additional information on the agenda and the location. This is just a very brief overview of the planned format for the workshop. As I stated, it is an all-day workshop, and we do keep the registration numbers relatively low so that we have an opportunity to do a lot of interactive activities and answer everybody's questions. However, there are still space in all the workshops. The next one. Here are the dates for the upcoming data reporting workshops. The first adult ed workshop will be April 25th here in Leon County. The next one after that will be May 5th in Marion County. And then the last one will be May 23rd in Broward County. I'm hopeful that with three different locations that you're able to attend at least one of these or send at least one staff member to attend. In addition, if you're not already familiar with these meetings, the NISAT4 WEDAT group, in district case it would be the WEDAT group, the Workforce Education District Data Advisory Committee, WEDAT, they typically meet 2 to 3 times a year. The next meeting will be April 13th to the 14th in Tallahassee. These meetings are very technical in nature, intended to talk about reporting issues from an MIS perspective as well as new reporting requirements. These meetings are do require registration, and it should be noted that registration for the next meeting is set to close on March 11th. So if you would like to attend or you'd like more information on what will be covered, you're certainly welcome to contact one of us or somebody from CTCMIS. I would also suggest that you maybe go back and look at previous meetings to see what they covered to get an idea of the format and what they tend to go over. More details on the meeting can be found at this link here. Go ahead. There are some key contact information for you if you are interested. If you would like a copy of the final webinar when we do have it posted or just to be notified, you're welcome to email, in particular, Colin Barton or Paul Stonecipher. Or if you have any questions about the information in the PowerPoints, you can email any of us. For data reporting questions specifically, I would direct you to Bruce Harrington, who's in the CCTC-MIS office, the Community College Technical Center MIS office, CCTC-MIS, who is our primary contact for the WITA system. All right, I'm going to open back up and see if there are any additional questions. This is your opportunity. If we have not already addressed a question that you would like to ask, now is your opportunity. We will not be opening the line up to audio questions, so please, if you have any, type those in now. We did record this call, and the audio will also be made available. If you had any colleagues who were unable to attend that you think would benefit from hearing the audio to go with the PowerPoint, we certainly are going to be happy to share that information. Or if you yourself would like a copy of the audio file, please let us know, and we'll be happy to send it via email. With that being said, I'm going to make a last call for any questions. Well, if you think of a question 2 minutes after you hang up, not a problem. Just email me the question, and I'll be happy to address it by email. Or if after you take this and you ingest it a little bit and you think about it, welcome to email me then as well. If not, thank you very much for taking time out to participate in the webinar, and I look forward to hopefully seeing some of you at my data training.